And when he has come, he will reprove the world of sin and of righteousness and of judgment. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. At the time that Jesus gave his farewell discourse to the disciples, of which our gospel passage today is a part, it could be said that he had at times kept his cards close to his chest. He likely knew that his disciples would have a hard time understanding, even after they had walked with him for 3 years and seen him do miracles and heard his sermons time and time again. But here, as they are at the end of Jesus' time with them before his suffering, he knows they're about as mature as they're going to get and as ready to hear as they're going to be. It's time for them to believe. In the passage that we've heard today, Jesus has just finished laying on them some very difficult words. I did not say these things to you from the beginning because I was with you. What help is it to say to you what is going to be like after I leave when I'm still with you? But now I'm about to depart. And these disciples who once sat around a table with Jesus and argued about which of them was the greatest jostled to try and get Jesus to promise them that he would sit, that they would sit on the right hand and on the left of him in his kingdom. To these guys who are ready for news, Jesus says the following: if the world hates you, know that it has hated me before it hated you. That's not what they had in mind. If they persecuted me, they will persecute you. All this they will do on my account. They will put you out of the synagogues. Indeed, the hour is coming when whosoever kills you will think he is offering service to God. That is not what they had in mind. It's time for you to believe. Now think back. This Jesus promised these men that they should lay down their fishing nets and become fishers of men at the beginning. Now perhaps they began to wonder who would be the fish and who would be the fishermen, because it seems like everyone would be angling for them. And there is evidence that they were thinking fondly of fishing again at the end of the gospel according to St. John in the 21st chapter. After the resurrection of Jesus, he knows where to find the disciples fishing. They went right back. As yet, they did not understand what Jesus had said to them, and so he adds this: it is expedient for you that I go away. For if I go not away, the Comforter will not come unto you. But if I depart, I will send him unto you. And you can almost hear them saying, Jesus, you know what would really give us comfort? You would give us comfort. Why don't you stay here and not go away and send us this other Comforter? But if they believed his words, they would have to believe that he was going to leave them in better shape than they were before. It's hard to believe what you don't yet understand, isn't it? But it was time for them to believe. And this day, Jesus has said something that would take real faith to believe as one of his disciples facing this departure. He's told them of the Holy Spirit's arrival. And he says, and when the Holy Spirit is come, he will reprove the world of sin and of righteousness and of judgment. Of sin because they believe not on me, of righteousness because I go to my Father and ye see me no more, of judgment because the prince of this world is judged. No doubt the disciples did not understand those words. And Jesus follows this saying with another: I have many things to say to you, actually, but you cannot bear them now. And more than one disciple was likely ready to say, we can't even bear the words that you just said, let alone the ones that you're planning to tell us when we're ready to bear them. But after the ascension, after the coming of the Holy Spirit at Pentecost, after the dust settled, these words must have come back to the disciples as they do to us today. And we'll ask St. Augustine of Hippo to help us interpret some of these today as we go through one by one. Jesus said that the Holy Spirit would reprove or reveal or convince the world concerning sin, righteousness, and judgment. With his own commentary, Jesus says, of sin, because they believe not on me. At the time he said it, that might not have made much sense. But later, when the atonement made by his death secured the forgiveness of sins for all those who would believe in him, it would make more. St. Augustine wrote about those who believe not in Christ. For this sin, unbelief, as if it were the only one, he has put before the others, because with the continuance of this one sin, unbelief, all others are retained. And the removal of this leads to all the others being remitted. It is time for the disciples and for you to believe. To believe in Christ is to have sin removed. To disbelieve is to have its wages applied to you. If the Holy Spirit is in your life, he will reprove you concerning sin. With his own commentary, Jesus explains that the Holy Spirit will convince the world concerning righteousness, because I go to my Father, and you shall see me no more. Even now, that one is difficult to understand. Perhaps we can recall Jesus' words to Thomas, which none of the disciples would have heard yet. Blessed are those who have not seen and yet believe. But in righteousness, we're still talking about belief, about faith, really. What is the definition of this faith that Abraham had reckoned to him as righteousness from Genesis to Hebrews? Faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things unseen. They will not see him anymore, and yet they will believe. And this belief, the evidence of things unseen, will be reckoned to them as righteousness. If the Holy Spirit is in your life, he will reprove you concerning righteousness, because Christ goes to the Father and you will see him no more. St. Augustine again writes about this. This then, he says, will be your righteousness, whereof the world shall be reproved, because I go to the Father, and you shall see me no more. Seeing that you shall believe in me as in one whom you shall not see, and when you shall see me as I shall be then, you shall not see me as I am while I am with you meanwhile. You shall not see me in my humility, but in my exaltation, nor in my mortality, but in my eternity, nor at the bar, as he says, but on the throne of judgment. And by this faith of yours, in other words, your righteousness, the Holy Spirit will reprove an unbelieving world. It is time for the disciples and for you to believe. And finally, the Holy Spirit will reprove the world of judgment, because the prince of this world is judged. If the Holy Spirit is in your life, he will convince you concerning judgment. And if you believe, you will not fail to believe that there will be a judgment for you and for everyone. St. Augustine, one more time. And so of this judgment by which the prince of the world is judged, is the world reproved by the Holy Spirit. For it is judged along with its prince, whom it imitates in its own pride and impiety. The world that did not recognize Jesus when he was amongst them. The world that does not bend the knee, nor bow their head. The world that has nothing in Christ, that does not believe, is judged along with its prince, whom its followers imitate in pride and impiety. If you have lost the sense that things will be set right again one day, that there will be a judgment, it is time for you to believe. St. Augustine goes on and brings all these things together, that the Holy Spirit will reprove humanity concerning sin and righteousness and judgment. Let men therefore believe in Christ, that they be not convicted of the sin of their own unbelief, whereby all sins are retained. Let them make their way into the number of believers, that they be not convicted of the righteousness of those whom, as justified, they fail to imitate. Let them beware of that future judgment, that they be not judged with the prince of the world, whom, judged as he is, they continue to imitate. When Jesus first said that the Holy Spirit would come and reprove the world of sin, of righteousness, and judgment, his disciples were not sure what was about to come. A passion, a crucifixion, let alone the meaning of his words about a comforter to come. But after his atoning sacrifice, his resurrection, his ascension, and the arrival of the Holy Spirit at Pentecost, the time had come indeed to believe. And the time has come for us to believe as well, because each of these things concerning the work of the Holy Spirit are related, and the thread tying his work about sin and righteousness and judgment together is simple. It is belief. It is faith. Whatever seed of faith God has planted in you as his gift, open your heart to let the Holy Spirit nourish and grow that faith, even if it's small. As you receive the grace of God in his sacrament today, allow the Holy Spirit to comfort and strengthen you. For each of you face circumstances of your own life, just as the disciples did when they first heard Jesus' words. There was some confusion. There was some dismay. But just as it was for them, it is time now for you and for me to believe. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen.